That January school day in 1966 began as a cold and frigid one. At the age of 16, with my first pair of eyeglasses, my bus rides to downtown Atlanta had become frequent. Each trip gave me the opportunity to fixate on details I had never noticed before. At the Chestnut Street stop, I counted the discolored bricks in the West Hunter Street Baptist Church. At the Vine Street stop, the Roman numeral smiled in the Morris Brown clock. The Phyllis Wheatley YWCA was the last brick structure before I saw a long row of weathered clapboard apartments on the left, just beyond Maple Street. The two-story dwellings staggered like drunkards on top of shifting foundations amidst garbage and debris. The only signs of life were a small, dark-skinned African-American child and a stray pregnant dog nosing the ground for food. Her only protection from the sub-zero weather was a cotton headscarf and a sweater with two missing buttons. Congested with mucus, her breathing appeared labored. My heart was quickened by her and strangely drawn to her at the same time. Moments earlier, I looked out of that window and saw a little girl. Now, that same window was a mirror, and I saw me. Many wintry days, I walked to school with no boots, no gloves, no overcoat. We never had toboggans or hats, only plastic rain bonnets, even when it was not raining. Mama believed that the plastic made our heads sweat and would generate more warmth than a thin cotton scarf. I never stayed home with a cold. Instead, I coughed, sneezed, and blew my nose around any and everybody. I also remember being plagued with a skin disease called teta. It's similar to athlete's foot fungus. But I did have some positive moments. Mama raised me and my siblings as Seventh-day Adventists. She joined the church after she and my daddy were married for several years. He didn't join, because according to this faith, you can't drink alcohol. I was 15 when he died from complications related to alcoholism. But his death meant my mama got his monthly Social Security check. And suddenly, our utilities stayed on. The three remaining children at home, two boys and a girl, now had nice clothes. I got glasses to correct my severe nearsightedness, and we all had lunch money. Every month, Mama gave me $50 for personal items. And from those funds, I bought a complete set of World Book Britannica encyclopedias. Daddy's Social Security check also paid for us to attend college until we were 21. A year after Daddy died, I won an oratorical contest at my church, and it was about the evils of alcohol. When our school's yearbook was released several months later, I fingered its pages quickly to find H for Hill, anxious to find my photo among the alphabetically arranged layout. I found myself lingering on the pictures in the C's. Almost every one of those children resembled me, who looked as bewildered as I felt. Perhaps I was not the only one who had a low self-esteem. I was not alone. Today, I'm healthy and I have beautiful black skin that I'm proud of. I graduated from college with a Bachelor's of Science in Secondary Education from Clark College in Atlanta and eventually earned a Master's in Adult Education from North Carolina A&T State University in Greensboro. I don't know exactly when I became comfortable in my own skin. I'm certain that the James Brown era of Said Live... and the Afro and braids regime contributed to my metamorphosis. But the true change had to come from within, in snatches, often subtle, always unexpected. All of the experiences that I perceived as setbacks were instead teachable moments, the platform for my future successes.